Good to see each and every one of you out this morning, and I hope that you will be encouraged by our being here together. We want to certainly encourage one another on our road to heaven. It's a long trip, longer for some than others, and it can be a hard trip. And because of that, we all know people who started the trip but didn't finish it. And we want to talk about that a little bit today. We want to think about that and consider that in our own lives. Don't ever let go. Sometimes it can be so tempting to want to just let go and give up. It's not worth the trouble. It's not worth the pain and the sacrifice, and I just want to quit. It's too hard. But we can't ever let go. Two frogs fell into a can of cream, or so I've heard it told. The sides of the can were shiny and steep. The cream was deep and cold. "Oh, what's the use?" said number one. "'Tis fate, no help's around. Goodbye, my friend, goodbye, sad world." And weeping still, he drowned. But number two, of sterner stuff, dog paddled in surprise. The while he wiped his creamy face and dried his creamy eyes. "I'll swim a while at least," he said, or so it has been said. It wouldn't really help the world if one more frog was dead. An hour or two he kicked and swam. Not once he stopped to mutter, but kicked and swam and swam and kicked, then hopped out via butter. Sometimes it's easy to want to give up, but if we'll just keep paddling, if we'll just keep going a little longer, the victory is right around the corner. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23, the Hebrew writer says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised." He goes on to tell what He promised, "I will never leave you or forsake you." But we need to hold on. Hold fast. Hold tight. Don't ever let go. We want to look at a few reasons that we need to not let go this morning. And hopefully they will encourage all of us to hang on a little bit longer. We can't let go because, first of all, it's too far to fall and too hard to climb back up again. Hebrews chapter 6 and verses 4 through 6 says, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again under repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put Him to an open shame." You look at how far this individual that is referenced here has fallen. This is someone who had been in the darkness but had been enlightened. They had come to the light of Christ. But not only that, this person had tasted of the heavenly gift. They had tasted of salvation. They had tasted of what it was like to have your sins forgiven. Tasting that. And yet, that's not all. It says that this individual who is a Christian, we know this because they've been enlightened and they've tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. They had received the Spirit, just as each Christian does. And verse 5 tells us they have tasted the good Word of God. They had studied the Scriptures, had the Scriptures in their mind, knew what those Scriptures said. And, he says, had also tasted the powers of the world to come. And then he says, if this person that's reached these sublime heights as a Christian, think what a Christian has come through to become a Christian, to leave the world of sin behind, to reach out for the glory of heaven, and then to come that far, and then he says, if this person who's come this far falls from that, it's a destruction. It's a destruction to fall from such a height. You know, I'm about as high off the ground as I ever like to be right here up these two steps. That's about as far as I want to get off the ground. If I fall off these two steps, that wouldn't be so bad. But you know, if I was up on the roof of the house and fell from that height, that would be a lot worse. But what if I were up on top of the Empire State Building or something like that, and we're to fall from that height? The destruction would be certain. You see, the higher we climb, the further it is to fall. Now, some people said because of that, well, I'm just never going to get very high. That's not the point. If we don't ever get very high, we're not going to make it to heaven. We've got to climb that ladder to heaven. But we've got to realize it's a danger in falling from such a height. And it's too hard to climb back up again. I've talked to people who had been Christians and had fallen away, and I've talked to them and they said, I know I need to come back, but I just can't. It's just too hard to go back down there to the church and face all of those people that I let down. I just can't do it again. I just can't come back down there. They knew they needed to. They wanted to, but their fear and the difficulty of facing those that they had disappointed was so great that they couldn't come back. And there are many that are in that boat today because they climbed but then fell. And that's a long way to climb back up there again. We need to take that warning and not let go. Don't fall. Because if we fall, it's so hard to get back up there again. If you can imagine climbing up a mountain, that's a long way to the top. What if you got halfway up and then slid back down and then had to climb back up again? I may be wrong about that, but I think that's why they invented snow ski lifts for people that are snow skiing. Because it's a really long, if you go slide down the hill on your ski, you don't want to climb back up. It's a long way. You want to get on that thing and ride back up. But if you think about that, if you slid all the way back down that mountain, how hard would it be to climb back up just to where you were before, much less to get higher? That's hard. It was hard to get there the first time. And it's hard to get back there again. So we need to beware of that. And since we know that, that should encourage us to not let go. But the second thing we want to notice is that we can't let go because we've come too far to give up. I mentioned not too long ago the story of the lady who was trying to swim across the English Channel. And she got most of the way across, but then the fog set in. And when the fog set in, she couldn't see how far she was. And she stopped. She was only a couple hundred yards from the shore where she could have stood and walked the rest of the way. But she quit. Just a few hundred feet, a few hundred yards from that final destination. Well, when you've come that far, you don't quit then. You've run 25 and a half miles, you don't quit the marathon before you run that last half. You go ahead and finish it. The story is told of the Olympic runner who in running the race fell, stumbled and fell, bloodied his knee, damaged it pretty badly. He got back up and continued running, limping, walking, hobbling. And finally, sometime after all of the other racers had crossed the finish line, he stumbled across that finish line. And when they asked him, they said, well, you know, you fell down. Everybody understood you were injured. You couldn't, they just quit. And he said, my country didn't send me here to quit. They sent me to finish the race. God has called us to finish the race, and we've come too far to quit now. 2 Peter 3, verses 13 through 17, Peter says, nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Peter said, look, we've come this far. We've got this promise. We need to be diligent now. We're looking for this final resting place. And don't give up. Don't get caught up in the error of the wicked and fall. At this point, we've come too far to quit now. We can't let go because we're almost there. It may not feel like that sometimes. Some of us feel it more than others. We feel like we're pretty close to that finish line. The great thing about the Christian race is it's not a speed race. It's not who gets there first, like the 100-meter dash or something. And it's just a matter of everybody that finishes the race qualifies for the crown. Everyone that finishes. And we can do that. We're almost there. Some of us are closer than others, but we're there. We're right at the cusp, right at the last stretch. Romans 13 and verses 11 through 12, Paul says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. He says we're closer than we were. Each day we get closer. Each day we should see that. Have you ever set a goal for yourself? And there are all sorts of goals out there. Have you ever set a goal and you didn't see any progress and so you wanted to quit? Sometimes we feel that way with the Christian race. We feel like, well, I'm just not getting anywhere. Plugging through day after day, but I'm just not getting anywhere. I'm not growing any closer to God. It doesn't feel like. Now, there may be some problems that we need to correct to help us to grow. We'll look at that in another lesson. But the fact of the matter is, as long as we remain faithful to Him, each day gets us a little closer to Him, a little closer to heaven. Even Paul says it here, our salvation is nearer than when we believed. We're getting closer. He says the night is far spent, the day is at hand. It's almost dawn. And you know, sometimes the darkest part of the night, they say, is just before the dawn, isn't it? I don't know. I've never really noticed that so much myself personally, but that's what the saying is. It's darkest before the dawn. Sometimes the darkest part of our lives, the part where we just want to give up, is right before we receive the most wonderful blessings from God. And that's the way it is with life. As we near death, It's an uncomfortable thing to consider, and we don't like to think about it, but as we near that point, it gets dark. It gets hard. And life is rough at those times, but it's just before the dawn. The light of Jesus Christ is just about to flood our soul. He's just about to take us home to be with Him at that point. And we can't give up when we're almost there. But then another reason we can't let go is because there are others counting on us. You know, sometimes if you think, well, if it was just me, I wouldn't bother anymore. But you know, there are other people counting on me. I've got family, and I've got friends or neighbors or my fellow Christians that count on me, and I've got to do it for them too. I've got to continue and be strong and be faithful and not lead them off as well if I fall. And I think about when they're doing some of that extreme mountain climbing, is, you know, beyond just walking up the top of a hill, when they have those pitons that they drive into the rock and they attach their little anchors to that, and everybody's got those little clips nowadays, but I wouldn't use those for climbing. Those aren't the real thing. But they, you know, they attach those things and it's got the rope, and there's six or seven of them. And they're all tied together with that rope, and they got these the harnesses on that have that rope in there. And the one at the lead, you know, takes and he drives that piton and he hooks in and he climbs a little farther. And you know, they're depending on each other. In fact, I've heard that the reason that they tie those climbers together is to keep the smart ones from going back home. But the fact of the matter is, if one of them gives up, he can take all of them with him. If they just, you know, let go and fall and all, it could pull the whole group of them off. Each one is depending on the other. And you know, it's that way in the Christian life too. We may think, well, it's just me, it's my relationship with God. And that is true, that yes, our relationship with God is going to determine our eternal destination. You can't be saved for me. I can't be saved for you. Each of us has to be saved for ourselves. That's true. But we're still interdependent. And when one falls, many times others are dragged away with them. Swept away. There are others counting on us. Acts 20 and verses 29 through 32, Paul warned the Ephesian elders about that danger of how others would get swept away. He says, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone, night and day with tears." Well, you think it's bad to have to come listen to a sermon one time a week on a Sunday. He says, "For 3 years, I didn't cease to warn you every day and every night with tears." Every day he was warning them about this danger. And he says, "Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." He warned them. They were going to be in danger. Even from among themselves, there were going to be some who would rise up and speak perverse things and draw others away. You know, there are things that we have to realize, and one of them is, whether we like it or not, we have an influence on others. And we can either help influence others for good, or we can influence others for evil. We have to recognize that, and we have to act accordingly. So we can't let go because there are others counting on us. But then the fifth thing, and the final thing that we really want to focus on is, we can't let go because our enemy is waiting for us down below. Satan, Peter tells us in 1 Peter 5, verses 8 through 9, is waiting. He says, "Be sober, Be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You ever see those movies? Always amazes me. You see this movie and somebody's hanging off the edge of the cliff and somebody else is reaching over to try to get them, and the one's reaching over trying to get them and the other one's reaching up and their hands just won't quite reach, and then this one slips and somehow then they're a foot over last and they grab each other. I never figured that part out. But you know, there's a lot of times whatever they're about to fall, you know, they're about to fall, there's something bad waiting below, isn't it? It may just be rocks. It may just be a really long way down to some flat concrete that they're going to splatter on. It may be that it's, you know, some a river with some alligators or piranhas or something, and they're waiting to gobble them up. You know, it may be that they're out in space and they're going to fall out into space if they fall. You know, whatever. They all the different scenarios, right? But whatever it is, there's something bad waiting below. Well, in our case, there is the worst of bad things waiting below. It's not just death, not even a gruesome, hideous death that faces us if we fall, but oh, something much worse. Spiritual death awaits us below. The devil is down there waiting to gobble us up if we fall into his clutches. That's a good reason to hold on. And you know, the higher we climb, the closer to God we get, the further away from the devil we get. He still tempts us. We'll never get away from that as long as we live on this earth. But you know, the temptations can become less. We can overcome them more easily with more experience. And as we get closer to God, it's kind of an interesting thing. The closer we get to God, the further the devil seems to stay back out in the shadows. He doesn't want to get too close, does he? Oh, that's what Peter said. Resist him, steadfast in the faith. The Bible, in fact, tells us if we resist the devil, he will flee from us. And besides, lions aren't very good at climbing ladders. So we just climb that ladder, we'll get out of his reach. No, we can't fall. We can't let go. We can't give up. We've got to keep pressing toward the goal of heaven. There comes a time when we have to realize that no matter what happens, we've got to stand firm. No threat, no fear can overcome, but courage has to take its place. In 1 Corinthians 15:54 through 58, Paul talks about the end. He talks about death. And he says, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, wouldn't that be something? To have worked so long as a Christian in God's kingdom, and then to give up and lose out on the reward? We have situations in our society when it comes to work where, you know, you get paid for the hourly, or you're on salary, or you get a certain commission for selling something. We have different ways of paying, but, you know, some things you only get paid if you complete the job. You only get paid if you finish it. If you get part way, there's no reward, there's no pay. The Christian life's like that. We may not get an hourly pay. We do get some benefits, some blessings of being a Christian day to day in our lives. But the big bonus is the retirement plan. But the problem is, we have to make it all the way to retirement to receive it. We can't retire early in the Christian life. You know, a lot of people work hard when they make lots of money, save lots of money so they can retire. You know, some people, by the time they're my age, they're already retired. If I retired, I'd have $1 for a year for the rest of my life, I think, probably, to last me, which probably wouldn't go very far. Some people, by the time they're 40, they're retired. Hey, they got the easy life. They're millionaires. They got it made. But it doesn't work that way in the Christian life. We can't earn enough in a few years as a Christian that, well, now I can retire and quit being a Christian and I've still got my mansion up there in heaven. Mm-mm. No, we have to hold on all the way to the end. You know, it's sad. Funerals always are, and death always is, for one reason or another. But I think perhaps the saddest funerals I've ever attended were of people who had been Christians and then before death had lost their faith. They'd turned from the faith. It's sad when someone never became a Christian. That's sad. And I know ultimately, in general, there's no difference in the long run. I understand that. But the fact of the matter is, it just hurts so bad to see somebody who was on their way and who could have made it and who should have made it, and to see that one lost because they turned away at the last moment or in the last years or maybe halfway through. We can't let go. We can't quit. We can't give up. One thing that we do want to do is to consider one last thing. Consider others' examples that have gone before us. Look at them and be encouraged by them to continue and to finish the course. Paul talked about it. He said, I have finished the race. I finished my course. And now there's a crown of life laid up for me. But he said, not just for me, but for all who love His appearing and long for it. He said, it's there. Just don't give up. Just finish. And we can look through the Bible and find those people who were faithful to death. As Revelations 2:10 tells us. We see those people. They were faithful all the way to the end. And they're an encouragement to us. We can look around and we can see people who have gone on before us that we knew perhaps, but they've already passed on. And we can look at them and we can say, I want to be like them, faithful to the end. And that can be an example to us. To keep on keeping on. To not give up. But of course we have to depend ultimately on God Himself. Jude 1:24-25 says, now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. You see, we can't depend on our own strength. We can't say, well, I'm never going to fall. I just won't. By force of will, I'm strong enough, I'll hold on. No. You see, Jude didn't say, you're able to keep yourselves from falling. He said, unto Him who's able to keep you from falling. Who's that? The only wise God, our Savior. By ourselves, we can do nothing. We have to depend on Him. We have to put our faith and trust in Him when our human strength fails us. When our logic and our thought process fails us and we can't see any reason to keep going. And everything is pointing toward giving up and quitting. Then we need to look to Him and say, I don't know why. I don't know how. but I trust you. And we have to put Him in control. You've probably seen, I've seen them, the bumper stickers that says, God is my co-pilot. I recently read something that said, you know, if God is your co-pilot, you're in the wrong seat. He's supposed to be the pilot. We sing the song, Lord of my life, I crown Thee now. Thine shall the glory be. We have to realize, if it's paradoxical, if we want to hang on, if we want to be the one who never lets go, then we're going to have to let go. We're going to have to let go of our own sense that we're in control. And we're going to have to give over that control to God and trust Him. Trust Jesus. So what about you? You've been tempted to let go? We all have at times. You know, it's a troubling thing. Well, there in Hebrews 10:23, He said, let us hold fast without wavering. Well, that's the hard part. Without wavering, we all tend to waver sometimes, don't we? We get a little weak. Our hold, our grasp gets a little tenuous, and I better grab hold better. Have you been tempted to give up? To quit and let go? Don't do it. It's too far to fall and too hard to climb back up again. We've come too far to give up. In fact, we are almost there. There are others counting on us to support them and encourage them. And our enemy is waiting for us down below. But God is waiting for us at the finish line. Don't ever let go. You need to respond to God's invitation. Perhaps because you feel your grip slipping and you need to take a firmer hold. Perhaps you're not a Christian. You've never started your climb and you need to do that today. Whatever need you may have to respond to God's invitation, please do it as we stand and as we sing.